Oh, but it ain't the sharpest knife in the drawer, I can tell you that right now. We got her going now. Giving that offering to the Lord, just a blessing. And I do want to be a blessing, but everything I've got, I came to this world with nothing.
Right.
The Bible said it's certain I can't take nothing out. And the only thing I'm going to take out is what I've already sent ahead, amen? And God keeps good records there, and He noticed a little woman putting in two widow mites. For those of you who don't know what a widow mite is, I just happen to have a couple about the size of your fingernail. I bought these off a guy in Bowling Green just so I can show you what a widow mite is. But there's two of them in there about the size of your little fingernail. She put them in. Hey, he noticed it. Matter of fact, not only he noticed it, he said she gave more than that all because she gave all she had. That's all she could give. She gave everything she had. The Lord noticed it. Amen. We'll be taking our text today out of Matthew chapter 24. And I want to mention something to you here real quick. I got a phone call yesterday from my pastor over at Bethel Baptist Church. And he asked me if I could fill in for him May the 5th, Sunday night. And of course the first thing that came to my mind was the situation with my wife. And I realized I couldn't. I told him, I said, Brother Rick, I'm pretty obligated. I'm on a short leash. But I said, let me pray about it. I said, the Lord may work something out here. Heck, I don't know. But anyway, make a long story short, I went there and talked to my wife. Asked her if she felt comfortable about being at the house long enough for me to go over there and deliver a message, come back. She said she didn't feel comfortable. And I had prayer about the thing. And my wife said something to me pretty much profound. She said, what about getting Sarah to sit with me? And I thought, amen. So I called Sarah up to see if she would be willing to do that. And she said she would. And I said, praise God. Reason I say praise God, the Lord had given me a message some days back. And the message wasn't for here. The message was for there. I mean, the same God that told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach the preaching, I bid you to preach there. He gave me a message to preach at Bethel. And I thought, okay, Lord, I got the message, but I don't have the opportunity. Well, my pastor called me yesterday. This is just kind of the way God works. And I haven't got God figured out, and I hope you understand what I'm trying to say when I'm saying here. I mean, we see through a glass darkly. We see in part, know in part. But when my pastor called me yesterday, I realized God was into that message that He gave me to preach there. And then when Sarah said, I'd be glad to say with her, my wife said, what about getting Sarah? And I had to say, Lord, is there anything else to this? Amen. But that's just the way God works. He works things out that was impossible. There just wasn't no way. I called Brother Rick back yesterday afternoon. I said, Brother Rick, I will be able to come. And he said, well, praise God. He was going about to be down at Travis Alltop's church. But God works things out in him. And I told you, I'm just a messenger boy anyway. But the Lord had told me to preach that message there.
Amen.
And I'm sitting there thinking, how am I going to preach that message there? And I guess He said, I'll show you how. Anyway, we're taking our text this morning out of Matthew chapter 24. I want to be faithful in the ministry to deliver the message God gives me to deliver. Some of you probably never preached, don't really understand that. But I'll say this to all those that do preach. They better let God be God. Your ministry's not going to go nowhere if you don't. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not kidding when I say I'm just the messenger boy. Amen. And when He does His part, I can do my part. And anyway, we're taking our text out of Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to read quite a few verses, just preaching out of one verse. But I'm going to read quite a few verses here today. Get us a little Bible reading in Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to read the first 35 verses there. In Matthew chapter 24, and our text verse is verse 35. But and Jesus, verse 1, went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now that's quite a statement. But He's speaking truthfully, and they don't really understand it, and this what we'll be reading will be part of that. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately. saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And there's a lot of deception going on today. Amen. For many, and there are many, shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Both of them verses are connected to deception. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end's not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, and we've reached out. I'll tell you that right now. Then shall they devour you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now that's a tribulation passage. I'm not enduring, I'm enjoying being saved. Just want you to understand, you got to rightly divide the Word of God. I'm not going through the tribulation. But this is in the tribulation we're talking about now. He that shall endure unto the end in the tribulation, if they can, they can be saved. And it's nearly impossible. Got to keep the Ten Commandments, got to have testimony of Jesus, got to live out your lives unto death. I just soon go by grace myself. But a lot of people get mixed up. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop come not down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world till this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here's Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning shineth out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. That's the battle of Armageddon. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens shall power of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes, talking about Israel, the tribes of the earth mourn. They're going to realize they killed him, but they didn't do away with him. He's coming back. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power, great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. You know the summer's nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it's near, even at the doors. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And here's our text verse. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We'll stop our reading right there. I'm preaching this morning on the greatest obstacle, and I desire your prayers. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the text that we just read. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, it's still precious even in our day. Our Lord, in Samuel's day, it said the Word of God was precious in those days because there wasn't no open vision. We pray, Lord God, you bless the word. Bless the preaching of your word. Bless your children, dear God, here today. And I pray, Father God, even right now, you forgive me my sins. Wash and cleanse me from all sin. And Lord, I pray you preach to me and through me, get honor and glory. We pray, dear Lord, in some way, Lord, to be usable of God, that we might be an instrument, Lord, that you could somehow, Lord, take today and reach somebody, Lord, with some truth from the treasures of the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we're preaching on the greatest obstacle. It's one of those kind of things that you just can't get out of the way. A matter of fact, I looked this word up in the dictionary. I'm not smart. But I looked up a word called inevitable. What that means is you can't get around it. It's inevitable. It's impossible to do away with. And that's kind of the way the word of God is. If men could get rid of the Bible, then they have tried. And I don't know that I'll get this message done, but I know I'll be obedient in it. But men have tried to do away with the Bible. They tried to water it down. They tried to alter. They tried their version. What's your version, Brother Eddie? Well, I'll just tell you, I tried them all. I've read every one of them. I've only got one that I can put my finger on. You do whatever you want to. I mean, I wrote a song when I first got saved. The song, I mean, even though I wrote this thing 36 years ago, still true. When I read my Bible, I don't like to waste my time. And if it's not a King James, it's not a Bible of mine. I don't read other versions because of their perversions. To me, the King James Bible is just fine.
Amen.
Now you may not agree with me, brother, for you it may be okay to read another. But they're poison and they're lies, just a serpent in disguise. For me, the King James Bible is just fine. You see, I started with American Standard. I went to Living Bible. I went to, you know, New World Version. I went to all of them. But I tell you, the light did not come on. Listen to me. I've read my Bible over 21 times. The light did not come on until I had a King James Bible. Why, Brother Eddie? Zero omissions. Zero additions. There's one more Bible that can make that statement. The text is Receptus. No other Bible can make that statement. You can buy one for a dollar. Matter of fact, you can probably get one for free if you want one. We give them out all the time, don't we, Kevin? We got some over here, I think. Tammy got some. John and some of the New Testaments, we give them out. God, the Bible said the Lord gave the word, Psalm 68, verse 11. Great was the company of those that published. I work for a printer. We publish books. I got to get back on top. I got a lot of liberty up here.
Amen.
But I want you to know that Bible. Oh, if they could just get rid of that Bible. Oh, my brother James, if they could somehow get the Bible out of our hand, oh, what an advantage they'd have.
That's right.
But you know what Jesus said? Heaven and earth
That's right.
Pass away. For my word, it's eternal.
Right.
It's inevitable. It's infallible. That means without error. That's why I said it's only Bible that can say this. Zero omissions. Zero additions. I read a book on other verses of the Bible. I studied this, I studied that. And I come to one conclusion, thank God for my Bible. Amen.
Amen.
It's the greatest obstacle. It's eternal. It's not subject to change. It's forever. Psalms 119 verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heaven. Psalms 105 verse number 8, he commanded his word to 1,000 generations. Matthew chapter number 21 verse 44. Says you can fall on His word and you can live. But if His word falls on you, we've got a lot of people down here that ain't quite got it figured out yet. I fell on that word 36 years ago. Hallelujah. Got gloriously, wondrously saved. See, we're begotten by the word. If you don't sow the good seed, me and Donnie, we hunt airheads. He found a bunch of airheads yesterday. I wasn't able to go. I was still minister and take care of my wife. But we go out there, and somehow we'll be out there like in a soybean field, and there'll be a stalk of corn in the middle of it. Or there'll be, you know, some other, something that's not supposed to be in the field. You got to sow good seed to get a good crop, amen.
That's right, amen.
Oh, my. Thank God for the seed of the Word of God. God settled His Word in the heavens. He magnified it above all of His name. He commanded it to 1,000 generations. That same word, Patty, applied to one man, first man named Adam.
That's right.
He got the Word of God right from God. God said, of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Got two ears, and somebody really missed that.
Yeah.
Actually, be honest with you, he pictured Christ when he did eat. Eve was deceived. The Bible says Adam was not deceived into transgression. His motivation was love. He didn't want to live without his wife. I would to God all husbands were like that. They were so committed to their wives that they wouldn't want to live a life without their wife. That's why Adam ate of the fruit when Eve offered it to him. But Jesus, He said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. John chapter 12, verse number 48. Let me tell you something. This greatest obstacle, it stands in the way of every lie. Jesus said, John 17:17, thy word is truth. You see, truth don't do too good. I mean, lies don't do too good when truth shows up. That's why they had such a problem with Jesus. They're hypocrites, they're liars, and here he is, he's truth, manifested, he said, I'm the way, the truth, the lie. When the truth showed up, lies look bad. Boy, lies don't like being exposed, and Jesus exposed their hypocrisy. He called them a bunch of hypocrites. He called them serpents, vipers. Hey, they didn't like it, but it was true, amen. That's one thing about it. I'll tell you, this Bible, it still gets the job done. But Adam, unto Adam, from Adam unto day, men struggle with truth. You know, when God asked Adam, He said, have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you not to eat? Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. That was a yes or no question. Have you noticed anymore when Congress is trying to get someone to admit truth, they don't go yes or no. They go out here and they go out there and anywhere but where they go. Well, when God asked Adam, have you eaten of that tree? He could have just said yes. But he said, the woman. You see, you get kind of like, you know, getting that blame game. It wasn't me, it was her. And it went on down to the serpent. But you know, that question there. People struggle today. Just saying yes. The Bible says, let your answer be.
That's right.
Yay or nay. Anything in between, that's sin. I mean, hey, we need to learn how to just say, I'm guilty. I did it. Yes. Or no, I didn't. And where you can, you know, put a little bit of truth into what you're saying. Let your A be A and your nay be nay. Amen. But it stands in the way of every lie. The Word of God is one of the kind of things that exposes things. Oh my. It stands in the way of every quitter. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, he wanted to quit. He said, I'm done. He said, I don't know more. I'm not going to mention his name no more. I'm done. He said, yet his word was in my heart as a burning fire. And he said, I could not quit. It stands in the way of every quitter. It stands in the way of every liar. I'm just telling you, the Word of God help people. It's a strength. It's a buckler. You can find a lot of good just by going to the Word of God. But he said, his word was in my heart as a burning fire. He said, neither could I forbear. Stands in the way of every quitter. Stands in the way of every liar.
Amen.
And it stands in the way of every sinner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, Paul, he said, I have not known sin but by the law, Romans 7:7. And, you know, Bible does say there's pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. And, you know, men love darkness, red light, needs evil, need to come into the light, listen, needs to be reproved. But God gave that word to help men. God gave that word because He loved man. God wants man to go to heaven. God didn't want men to go to hell. But that word speaks volumes. Man don't want to hear truth. Man wants to figure out a way around the truth.
Amen.
There's just no way around it. Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, there's going to be a day we're going to stand before God.
Amen. That's right.
God's going to ask us just like He asked Adam.
Right.
We're going to have a yes or no answer. But I got a feeling it's probably going to be a lot more said than yes or no.
Right.
I'm glad by sin done the blood. If you're saved, hey, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
That's right.
My brother Jerry couldn't have picked out a better song. Nothing but the blood. I appreciate you singing that blood song. Amen. By the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, I'm telling you, I'm redeemed. What's redeemed mean? My sin debt been paid. I owed a debt. I couldn't pay it. Hey, He paid a debt. He didn't know. But I want you to know on mine, it says paid in full by the blood of Jesus. That's why Jesus told the disciples, they said, Master, in thy name, the devils are subject unto us. He said, don't rejoice that the devils are subject unto you. Rejoice because your sins are running heavily in. I'm glad I got my name in that book. I'm glad I got my sins on that blood. You talking about something to shout about? Something to be happy about? I'm in that company of the redeemed. Glory to God. My Father owns it all. Oh, my stands in the way of every sinner.
Amen.
Brother Mitchell was talking about trying to get Tony in here. He needs to be here.
That's right.
But you see, there's a devil out there.
That's right.
The Bible said He blinds the minds of many, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. He had blindness on my eyes for 34 years.
Amen. Time to wake up.
Sinners, they need to work.
Right.
You try to get one of these, and one guy, he'd chew them, eat them. Another guy, he'd throw them down, spit on them, step on them. Mm-hmm. Word.
Yeah.
Word of God.
That's right.
I was in Goodwill store, and Richard Jarvis's brother,
Rick,
he said he likes to go by Rick. He said his name is Richard.
Yeah.
But he said he liked to go by Rick. You're right.
Yeah.
And there was a girl there. Her head was bald. There was not a place on her head that there wasn't a tattoo. Younger, probably maybe 18. I'm not sure. And she had some things hanging, chained and stuff. And my heart, as soon as I seen her, I have to admit, I was very inclined to go speak with her, but I couldn't get away from Rick. So I made sure she didn't get out. And then when she finally did start towards the door, I went over and I said, ma'am, I said, this is the best deal that there is in this store. And to my surprise, she said, thank you. But that is the best deal.
Amen.
The Word of God.
Amen.
The grace of God. The mercy of God. The salvation of God. We're all looking for good deals. You can't get a better deal than Calvary. Whosoever thirsts, let him come to me. Hey, take it on himself. Hey, get water up on the fires. Get forgiveness for the guilt and the sin. Amen. I'm telling you, He offers us water from the living well. Whosoever drink this water thirst again. But if you drink the water I give you, you will never thirst again. And that Samaritan woman said, Lord, give me this water. Oh my. Stands in the way of every sinner. They just don't know what they're missing out on. I went through 34 years of that. I know a little bit about it. I mean, I understand now why the psalmist said, oh, taste and see that it's good. But I didn't know about that 34 years. But I'm glad I got in the good.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you a sad story. And it's sad. But like I said, this stands in the Word. This Word stands in the way of every sinner.
That's right.
But you listen to this. Every atheist has this obstacle to deal with. They don't want nothing to do with God.
That's right.
But God wants something to do with them.
Yep.
He calls out to them. They hang up. They don't want to talk to God. Some have paid dearly for rejecting God's love and God's Word. You listen to this. This is sad. Two atheists determined to live their lives apart from the one that gave them life got married. What did they get married for? I mean, I've done a lot of weddings. What God's joy to get a little man put us under. But listen, they got married. Oh, they made their plans. Oh, they crossed every T, dotted every I. Listen to this. They were very successful, worldly speaking. They had no want of anything. They fared sumptuously every day, just like that certain rich man did. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Everything's great. I was watching Toby up here and he's moving his around a little bit. Somebody had these in a certain order. But let me just say this. They had everything right where they wanted to be. Just one thing out of place. They hadn't done nothing with it. But they had everything else done. It's perfect. And all of a sudden, surprise, surprise, a little girl was born unto them. And oh, how they loved that little girl. That atheist father, that little girl, Patrick, he built a picket fence around their house to keep his little girl from being influenced by the gospel. These are two committed, devoted atheists. He built a picket fence around that house. That atheist mother, she sheltered that little girl and nurtured her in the atheist way of life. But even with all their schooling and all that picket fence that ran around their house, that little girl heard the singing of the songs of God from a little church down the street. Well, I love singing. It don't bother me a bit. Y'all want to sing?
That's right.
Y'all never heard me say you sung too much.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, there's a ministry in singing just like there's a ministry in preaching.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I heard all kinds of people. Matter of fact, my oldest granddaughter got saved. I can't remember the name of the group. They were singing a song, Jesus Loves Me or Jesus Knows Me. But she got saved. They sent word to me after work. She got saved. I had to work on the night she got saved. And the message they sent, I couldn't even decipher it. I didn't even find out the next day she got saved. But anyway, they done all that. This little girl in behind this picket fence prison, in behind her mother's care and her father's efforts, she heard the singing of the songs of God from a little church down the street. It was so beautiful and so blessed that she slipped out and went down to that little church to see why they were so happy, so joyfully singing about this Jesus. Boy, that's where it ought to be.
That's right.
That's why Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me, forbid them not, for such the kingdom of heaven. I remember little old Lucy, she just turned 8, but it ain't been too long. She raised her hand up, and I thought she wanted to sing. I said, what you got, Lucy? She said, Brother Eddie, want to get saved.
Amen.
You see, that's where it ought to be.
Right.
But these parents, Brother Eric, they's trying to keep this little girl from that. They wanted her to be just like them, as miserable as they were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, buddy, hey, listen, I was miserable for 34 years.
Right.
And you know, trying to get yourself, I'm drinking liquid drugs, alcohol, trying to somehow drown the guilty conscience. And I don't really want to go there. But this little girl, Sarah, she come running home. Mama, Mama, Daddy, I got saved. Sharon,
amen.
That father in rage leaped on that little girl and beat her to the point that she died.
Oh.
She didn't die right then. She lived a little while. And they called for a doctor to come. Boy, they put her home.
Yeah.
He understands what he's done now. Called for a doctor. Doctor went there. He wasn't there long. He said, if you got anything you want to say to her, you better get in there. She's dying. The dad went in there. He's heartbroken. The mother went in there. Her heartbroken. God had given them that precious gift. And they thought that it was theirs instead of God's. She gave her heart to Jesus, Sarah.
Amen.
Daddy said, honey, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. She said, it's all right, Dad. Mother said, honey, is there anything we can do? She said, yeah. She said, Daddy, go get that dress I had on when I come home that day from church. The father said, "Honey, that dress is torn. It's got blood all over it." She said, "I know. I want that dress on." She said, "Jesus fixed to come for me. I want him to know how much I love him." She said, "Will y'all please go get that dress and put it on me?" And those atheists, that atheist father, that atheist mother, they saw something that they somehow missed, and their hearts melted. They understood their sin. See, sinners don't understand their fault. They don't understand why they're so mad. They don't understand why there's no room for Christ in them.
Bless you, man.
Problem is on the inside.
That's right.
Boy, there's a great truth there, a great lesson there.
Counts.
They paid dearly for living selfish.
Amen.
Atheist lives. There's a lot of people just like them out there right now. Shut the door. I don't want nothing to do with church.
Right.
I don't want to hear about the gospel. I don't care what the Bible says. I want to be left alone. I want to live my life. I want to do what I want to do. Whatever I want to do is, you know, in Him we live and move and have our being. You know, I'm 70 years old. That's young to some of you and old to others. I have to admit, I thank God for the blessings of God.
Amen.
I thank God. Hey, look, old Brother Eddie. Hallelujah. Old Brother Eddie, glory. I'm telling you, I thank God that you can be blessed, that you can have the goodness of God. I'm telling you, hey, we need to go out of Him, not run from Him. That little girl finds something they missed, amen.
Amen.
She went to heaven. But I don't know if they made it or not. I just know this, they could have. Those that miss heaven, Jesus said they'd be better off if they'd never even been born. Can you imagine being born in this life, in this world? God give you the breath of life, give you the faculty to be able to understand grace, a space to repent, and you not give any heed to it, and you finish your court. Donnie, his work where he does, he just watches people die. He brings them medicine, prolongs a little bit of the inevitable. I mean, we're all going to die. We'll get me wrong.
That's right.
I'm dying right now. I mean, I don't know what the number is of days God's allowed unto me. I just know one day I'll feel my days. It's over.
That's right.
Any way this side of heaven, that any way this side of heaven going down, that any way that side of heaven going up, hey, I might be alive when He comes. I might not. But either way, I'm going up. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, glory to God. Hallelujah for salvation.
Amen.
I couldn't afford it. It was a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's amazing the mess that people have made of things of God. Right. I got to shut this thing down. I'm looking at the clock back there. I read a thing there in Sunday school, and I was going to read it right now. But if you want to know what I was going to read, go to the Sunday school lesson, and you'll hear me read about it, about how an atheist man died named Voltaire, and how he caused his own demise, how he missed out on heaven, how he caused his own problem of you know, going to heaven. He wanted nothing to do with God till things went bad, and then he found out he went too far, and there's really no such thing as going too far. But in this case right here, this man made a big deal about it. It may have been. He may have had his conscience seared with a hot iron. I don't know. And I'll tell you what, it's a sad thing to miss out on heaven. A lot of people will. The greatest obstacle is also the greatest help. You can't find heaven without the Word of God.
Right.
And you can't understand the Word of God without the help of God.
That's right.
I'm telling you, we got everything we need. God's provided every bit of it.
That's right.
And I feel sorry for the people that miss heaven.
That's right.
They'll stand before God and they'll give that little excuse like, you know, if I just had one more day, if I just had one more opportunity,
right.
Lord, if you just done this, I'd have got to say, there won't be no. The Bible says,
right.
How shall we escape? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3.
Amen.
How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There'll be no escape. The Bible says there'll be without excuse there in Romans chapter 3. No escape, no excuse. Just going to stand before God and realize why you went to hell, and you're going to realize why you're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Why? Because the Word of God, it's inevitable.
Right.
It It's not only the roadmap to heaven, but it's also one that we're going to be lined up with. I got to shut her down right there. Father, we thank you for the message. Lord, I had more material than I had mind. And Lord, I had more material, Lord, than I had time. And I pray, dear Father God, Lord, for your blessing upon this effort I put forth, Lord. There's a lot of people out there like that atheist couple, Lord, that are trying to live lives apart from God. Lord, they're not even living. They're just going through the motions of life. Got the sentence of death written against them, Lord. I pray for them even right now, God. I pray you'd wake them up. I pray you'd open their eyes. I pray, dear God, Lord, they'd realize, Lord, while they got opportunity to run to Calvary, lay hold on eternal life, get saved. We pray for that, Father. And Lord, we ask your blessings on it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm done. I'll get Brother Jerry like this. Everybody stand. Get Brother Jerry and Sister Sharon to help him. Just one verse of invitation on him. Pilate said, "What shall I do with this Jesus? Boy, nobody wants nothing to do with him until they need him."
Number 114.
Old song says, "Oh, what a weeping and a wailing when the lost are told of their faith. They'll cry to the rocks and the mountain, but the cries will be too late." Amen.